I don't. The eighth chapter will be where we start tonight, eighth chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, if nothing happens, we'll probably conclude our study in Daniel. Possibly next Wednesday night, no later than a couple of Wednesday nights away. Remember, if you will, we were using the book of Daniel to kind of preset our study on the book of Revelation. And we were wanting to use examples from the book of Daniel to kind of show how the same type of symbols and signs were used in the Revelation. And thus far, if you'll remember, we started out with the book of Daniel. Daniel, being a young man, had been carried into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And if you'll notice, the first eight chapters of the book of Daniel takes place during the time that the Babylonian Empire was in reign. Remember, if you will, God raised up Nebuchadnezzar to take the children of Israel into Babylonian captivity. Assyria had taken 10 of the 12 tribes into captivity. Babylon overthrew Assyria and then took over the other two tribes, Jerusalem and Judah. So now, every group of God's people are in captivity. Why was that the case? Why were they in captivity? Pardon, Harry? Because of their disobedience. That is exactly right. Now, the reason that the study in the book of Daniel is helpful to help us grasp the book of Revelation is a lot of the visions that Daniel saw were very similar to the visions that John saw while exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Now, remember, if you will, we saw some, number one, we looked at a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that was interpreted by Daniel. It's a very popular section in Daniel 2 where this image is representative of four kingdoms, earthly kingdoms, that will rise and fall. And during the fourth kingdom, the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that would be an eternal kingdom. Remember, if you will, Isaiah started a similar statement over in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah when Isaiah made a prophecy about a future kingdom. Joel made a prophecy about a future kingdom that was going to come to power. So in Daniel chapter 2, we learn that this kingdom was going to take place during the reign of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire was in existence when Jesus left heaven and came to this earth, was born of a virgin, and grew up carrying out his earthly ministry. And of course, it was Jesus that made the statement in Matthew chapter 16 that he was going to give Peter and the apostles the keys to this kingdom. Now, this kingdom had been prophesied over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Daniel is one of the places where that prophecy takes place in Daniel chapter 2 and at verse 44. But there were some other visions that Daniel had that kind of added a little history to what was going to take place. Now, Daniel learned, as he interpreted this particular vision, a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, that Nebuchadnezzar represented the head of that image. But that image was going to fall, and another kingdom was going to take place. And that kingdom was represented by the breast and the arms of silver, and we learned that that particular kingdom was the Medo-Persian Empire. Then we learned that that kingdom was going to fall, and another kingdom was going to be represented by the legs of brass and thighs, and belly of brass and thighs of brass. And it was going to be represented by the Grecian Empire that, of course, we learned and read about in history, where Alexander the Great was the king over that empire. Now, we're going to learn, and we did learn last week, by looking at other places in the book of Daniel, and especially the 7th chapter, that Daniel learned something else. That not only was this Grecian Empire going to become a reality, but it was going to split. Not only was it going to split, but it would eventually evolve into what is known as this fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom. So what we're going to be looking at tonight is briefly a continuation of what we've been looking at in the book of Daniel last week in chapter 7. Does anybody remember the four beasts that Daniel saw coming up out of the sea? Anybody remember anything particular about those four beasts? What did they look like? Lion? Bear?
Leopard.
and one we couldn't even put a name on it. It was so ugly and so fierce. So Daniel saw these visions, and then he began to become troubled by how that the interpretation came up in regards to it. In chapter 7, verse 15, it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near and asked one of them that stood by. Who was one of them that stood by?
There were thousands of them, wasn't there?
Okay, and one of them would have been what? Or who? Or what kind of being?
An angel, wasn't it?
An angelic being, yes. So Daniel goes and he asks this person. And notice what it says. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Remember, if you will, we need to pay close attention to this. Because quite often when you see biblical language where visions are being displayed, you will see sometimes where by inspiration the meaning of that vision is given. The interpretation of that vision. And that's exactly what happens here. You'll see that happen some in the Revelation. Now notice what it says here. These great beasts, which are four, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Remember, if you will now, what Daniel learned when he interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar during the reign of the Roman emperor, or the Roman government. Fourth kingdom. The God of heaven would set up a kingdom which would be unique from these earthly kingdoms. Babylonian kingdom was going to fall. Medes and the Persians going to fall. Grecian kingdom going to fall. The four individual kingdoms that sprang off of the Grecian kingdom going to fall. The Roman kingdom going to fall. Earthly kingdoms will rise and fall. And they're under God's control. Just as God set Nebuchadnezzar up, what did he do with Nebuchadnezzar at the end? Took him down. Just as God set up the Medes and the Persians, in the end, what did God do? Took them down. So we notice here that we're giving further information to Daniel about questions that he has about these future kings. Could you imagine what it would be like if somebody come tell you a story and you say, well, I wish you'd finish the story. Give me some more detail. I want more information. I want to know about this story. You see, Daniel is looking at it from behind. And he's looking at it from a futuristic standpoint. When is it going to happen? Am I going to live long enough? Will I get to see it? And even the angels, the Bible said, many times would search for answers into what they were giving from God or ministering for God to the prophets. Even they would want to know more about what they were saying to these prophets. So we know here that in this image or in this vision that Daniel had, this eternal kingdom is mentioned. There's an interesting statement over in Luke. Turn with me, if you will, to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. We mentioned this on Sunday. But notice what's going on down about verse 31 of Luke chapter 12. Now, in this whole context of Scripture, I don't know why we need a lesson on anxiety, do you? But that's what that section is about. It's about worrying and worrying and worrying over things. And it starts back in verse 22, and it goes all the way through verse 34. So these words were spoken at the end of that section about anxiety. Now notice what he says in verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Now why would he tell us to seek something if it was not going to be a reality? Now right now, the kingdom had not yet been set up. But here, the text is telling us, instead of being so wrapped up with the cares and the concerns of this life, what's going on around us, what you really need to be concerned about is the kingdom. Seek ye the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom that Daniel talked about in verse 2 and in verse 44. The kingdom that Joel prophesied that said it's coming with power. The kingdom that Isaiah said it's not going to be a warring kingdom. It's not going to be like these earthly kingdoms. Now notice as he goes on. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, how could God give you and I a kingdom? Have you thought about that? How could he give us a kingdom? But yet he said right here, he said, look guys, fear not about this world and this life, because your Father is going to do what? Give you the kingdom. Well, how would this happen? We found out when Peter stood up on Pentecost and preached that first gospel sermon. Some 3,000 souls responded to his invitation. And what were they added to? What did they make up? They made up God's kingdom. You see, you and I tonight, we collectively make up the kingdom. We are the kingdom. And if we remain faithful, when this world comes to an end, when he decides to come back and destroy this world, he's going to take us, usher us into his eternal kingdom that he has been talking about to Daniel here in Daniel chapter 7. Look what Daniel said here. He said, "The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Now, isn't that sad that so many people in the religious world today cannot appreciate this verse of Scripture? Because, you see, they've never been taught that the kingdom is in existence. That they are the kingdom. They make up the kingdom. And we're priests in the kingdom. And we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God each day that we live in this kingdom. And this kingdom is going to be an eternal kingdom. It's not going to be end. Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. And that we're part of it. Now, the United States of America may fall. And some other country may come in and beat us in war, overthrow us, and we would be under their dominion and under their reign. And it would not be the United States of America anymore, just like Babylon doesn't exist. Assyria doesn't exist. And look at all the kingdoms that was at one time in great power, but now they're not. But we're in God's kingdom. We are God's kingdom. God gave us that. And he gave us that when we by faith embraced his word and he added us, or as Paul said, set us over into the kingdom of his dear son. So Daniel is seeing this vision. Can you imagine why his head ached? You know, we see all of these images coming out of the water. And to know each one of those images represented something that was going to happen in the future. Now remember in chapter 7, the Babylonian Empire is still in existence. As a matter of fact, you get into chapter 8, the Babylonian Empire is still in existence. Nebuchadnezzar's out of the picture. Belshazzar in chapter 8 is the head over that kingdom. He's the king of that kingdom. More than likely, when we begin looking here in chapter 8, it's probably about 547 BC. More than likely, chapter 8 is in the last year of Belshazzar or the Babylonian Empire's existence. Now remember, if you will, as we were looking last week at this vision, verse 19 says of chapter 7, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." That's that old ugly one, his jaw pointed out. I mean, so horrible that they couldn't even really give it a name. "Then would I know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue in his place, and the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up before whom the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints." Daniel is seeing this vision. And he's being told by the angel, here's what they represent. You know, one represents the Babylonian king. One represents the Medo-Persian Empire that has not even come into existence. One represents the Grecian Empire, and it's going to break off into four pieces. And then the Roman Empire is coming into existence. And you talk about tough, there's never been one like them before. You talk about powerful, they hadn't seen a kingdom like that. And not only that, but they were going to be persecuting powers without means. And notice what Overcame always said in his head. The other one which came up before whom three fell, even that horn, had eyes and a mouth that spake great things. And that horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. The saints lost. All for a time. What was the next word in the next verse? Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time that came that the saints possessed the kingdom, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it in pieces, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings. That'll arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he'll speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and a time of dividing and a time to come. But, there's that word, but, notice these two words, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. Remember what happened when Jesus came out of the tomb? He spent about 40 days with his apostles, and then he ascended back up into the heavens above, sat down on David's throne at the right hand of God. His glorification was manifest. He was now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Peter preached that first gospel sermon. And this kingdom that they've been talking about is an existing being. God gave this kingdom to his saints. And notice what's going to take place. During this fourth kingdom, this Roman Empire, they're going to beat down everybody on the earth. They're going to be an overruling, crushing power, and they're going to try to do what? Destroy the church, this spiritual kingdom that God gave to us. They're going to try to destroy it. Remember what we said about W.B. West's story about the last Roman emperor? Went to his friend's house and said, what's going on? All your churches are closed. What's the man from Galilee doing? And he said, oh, he's building a coffin large enough to bury you and your kingdom. When this Roman emperor died, he died outside of Rome because they were being overthrown. And on his deathbed, he said, the man from Galilee won the battle. That was the last Roman emperor. Now, that didn't stop the persecution of the church, because two or three centuries later, remember when we were studying on Wednesday night? The empire itself failed. But then, Roman Catholicism kind of filled the gap. And there were Christians killed by Roman Catholicism, persecuted for several hundred years, just like they were persecuted under the Roman Empire. Now, what is Daniel seeing? He's seeing what's going to happen with these different kingdoms that's going to rise and fall, and especially that last kingdom, that fourth kingdom, that represents the Roman Empire. Now, if you got a minute, and that's all we've got left, turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter Here's John now, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. What did Daniel see? Four beasts come up out of the sea, having seven heads and seven horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his hands, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Sound like it that we read before? Now look at chapter 14 for a minute. Now the vision John seen, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now listen to this. You heard a lot about the 144,000, haven't you? What you heard about the 144,000?
They were going to be the only ones.
They're going to be the only ones. They're the saved. They're the redeemed. Got to have literally 144,000, right? And that's the redeemed. Look what it says here. These, all right, let me back up. Verse 3. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgin. We want the 144,000, don't we? But we don't want 144,000 virgins, do we? You see how you just can't take figurative language and make this verse or this number literal when it's used figuratively. Now look at this vision as it goes on. Notice what it says. These virgins are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne. Now we're going to notice a little earlier, we're going to see where there John sees the vision, and these beings are sitting under the altar, and they were souls, or basically dead people, departed spirits. They were under the soul, they were under the altar, and they were crying out, O Lord, holy and true, how long are you going to allow our blood to go on unavenged? Now, what are we going to look at? What are we going to study? Well, Daniel is looking forward. He's saying, I got a headache. I can't get all this. Tell me about how this is going to happen. And here John is is having a vision just like Daniel had, and he's trying to explain to those people who lived during that period of time about some things that are going to shortly come to pass. And remember, if you will, when this book is written, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 is already gone. Paul and Peter and all of the apostles are dead now, with the exception of John. And John's got a mystery here that he's got to write down and get it to the rest of the church. And it's going to be about a battle that's held between God and Satan. And you know who's going to be victorious? God. You know who's going to be defeated? Satan. You know where he's going to be? In a pit. You know where he's going to be cast out? Into hell throughout the eternal ages, and all his other cohorts with him. But guess what? We've been given a kingdom. And it's an eternal kingdom. And we're not going to know any of this sorrow, any of this hurt, any of this heartache. We're out of track. Let me stop. We'll pick up next Wednesday night in the book of Daniel. And again, we'll be looking at the book of Revelation in a Sunday morning.